Welcome to Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure. Torai Tan T2 and E came in since they are broadcasting out of Portland, Oregon and Shikoku, Japan respectively. Vaporwave has begun to seep into the material world. We are living in dangerous times. Join us in our quest for truth in the vapor sphere. This is episode 2831, baby. Dr. Shil Clinton joins us to explain what NFTs are and what the blockchain means for art in the future. Is the real-world environment being changed in this new realm of digital finance? Has Vaporwave seeped into the material world once again? SlimeWire will always be here for you. SlimeWire will prevail. We will now begin the show.
Mahalo, welcome to the SlimeWire podcast, episode 2831, baby.
Hey,
I'm your host, Triton T2, broadcasting out of Portland, Oregon, joined by Japan's Minister of Loneliness. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I am the Minister of Loneliness, aka Ikemen Sensei, coming at you out of Shikoku, Japan.
And we are once again joined by our chief financial advisor, the trash money millionaire himself. Dr. Shil Clinton.
How you doing, boys? Thanks for having me.
We brought Dr. Shil Clinton in to explain NFTs to us because I'm too stupid to know what they are. I'm too stupid to understand them. But I thought really quickly before we go into that, I sort of wanted to talk about these pictures of Trump at Mar-a-Lago that Dr. Shil just sent to me.
Oh yeah, graciously provided to us. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking funny.
Hop on for all our listeners. Hop on the check out Vic Berger's Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's got him up on the gram. Yeah. They're great. You want to describe to those in our listener base who doesn't have access to
internet.
The internet.
It's a disturbed looking boomer woman with some disturbed glasses taking a selfie from the front. I imagine the front seats, and she's watching Donald Trump perform some sort of speech. He looks better than ever. He looks like he's lost some weight. He looks happy. He's red in the face. He's got blood pumping through those veins. He's got his hat, his trademark hat, which I was saying is a very boomer thing that he has his own trademark hat that he wears every day, everywhere he goes.
Cartoonish. It's a cartoonish hat too.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like gaudy.
He's got his white polo, country club polo tucked into some slacks. And check out those white shoes too.
Oh shit. I didn't see the shoes.
Oh, nice spot. Yeah, those are hard to.
I get when I look out. When I look at it with like the clear podium. The cloth on the teleprompter stands and everything that like blend in with the curtains. It's weird,
ugly women behind him, you know?
Old ugly women behind him.
I get this weird, absurdist, avant-garde. Federico Fellini film vibe from the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just uncomfortable.
I do like the white drapes as well.
It looks like he's at a convention for Italian futurist architecture from the 1860s.
Exactly.
Or he's on the set of the live action Jetsons movie.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Zingers abound with these pictures. He looks like he's lost about a foot of height.
And girth. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's been golfing every day,
right.
Getting those steps in,
Yeah, but no, it is weird. It just I think part of it is that it's just the lighting and everything, and he's not these aren't airbrushed pictures that are meant to make him seem like he's exuding dangerous psychopath energy, you know?
Right.
Just normal pictures of him, but it's like it's him just like denuded of the power that he's had over our collective imaginations for the last 4 years, you know?
Right.
He looks sad. I don't think they look like good pictures at all. He looks sad. He looks depressed.
I don't know. He just, to me, he looks like he's like your grandfather that probably had like a really evil job back in the day. Like fucking, you know, he was, your grandfather was the guy that was like shoving all the black kids out of the white school, and he's just gotten old and now he's just sort of hanging around, just being a fun old guy and doing, you know, dumb bullshit at Mar-a-Lago. You know, he just gets to walk around Mar-a-Lago and have these weird old ladies fawn over him. And it seems fun. It seems like it would be fun to be Donald Trump right now.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't really. I'm going to be honest. I don't get where you're coming from with that at all.
He looks happy.
He just looks like. Look at the last picture of him. He looks sad as fuck, dude.
Right, when it's all said and done, it's over.
Yeah. It looks like he was trying to give like a really rousing speech, and kind of halfway through, he realized like there's only like 52 people here, and it's not really working anymore. So he just kind of gave up.
Do you see how there's two consecutive pictures of him with his arms on his hips, akimbo, like that?
Yeah, arms akimbo. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mind you, the deranged boomer woman is the photographer here. So,
oh god,
this is being filtered through her gaze.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she has a disgusting smile and some disgusting glasses.
Yeah. She's definitely racist.
Yeah. All right. Not looking good. So check out that photo set.
Yeah, it's pretty vaporwave.
It is very vaporwave, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into the meat of it. Dr. Shill Clinton, what is an NFT?
Yeah.
NFTs, I mean, they're real hot right now, as we all know.
I don't.
So, well, no, lucky for you.
Yes, please.
You get to learn a bit here today. So NFTs stand for non-fungible tokens. Okay. So non-fungible means essentially something is one of a kind, like it's a one of a kind asset. So think of like a dollar, US dollar. Non-fungible is something that can be traded. It's just one of a kind. It can't be like traded for an exact copy or a one for one trade. So like a US dollar, I can give you a dollar and you give me a dollar and we both have the same thing still. That is fungible. Non-fungible would be like, you know, we trade Pokemon cards or basketball cards or something like that. Like I give you whatever and you give me whatever. So NFTs, they're one of a kind collectibles. Okay. The
keyword there is collectible.
Right. The the whole news about NFTs now are like coming from crypto art. That's kind of how it all started, actually, was crypto art. Some of the original NFTs from like 2017 are like little collectible art items. Digital art items, they only exist in like a digital form. For example, one are called CryptoPunks, and they're just like little 12 pixel by 12 pixel pictures of like little dudes or like little characters. They look like little 8-bit kind of like characters. And each one is unique, and they each have like little accessories. And like the more rare your accessory, the more valuable your CryptoPunk is.
Okay, gotcha.
And there,
so this has been going on since 2017.
Yes.
Why is it all of a sudden becoming like? Why is it big right now?
I'm not exactly sure. Like, why all of a sudden it's becoming big? I think a big part of it are those older NFTs starting to just gain in value. And then like other artists tapping into it and realizing like, oh wait, there's like this is a whole new marketplace for my art, whatever it might be. So the reason why like any of those CryptoPunks, for example, have value, they're bid on. Okay. Yeah. So when they were initially created and sold, I think there's something like 200 of them, but don't quote me on that. I don't know. But the point of me saying that is there is a fixed amount. There will only ever be this many, right? Sure, so sure. You have this scarcity built into the narrative of NFTs, and that's what
creates ground hype. The value.
Exactly. And collectors like to flex their value, right?
Gotcha.
So as we're seeing other forms of like digital art being minted into NFTs and sold as NFTs, you know, a lot of people come with the argument like, well, what if I just right click and save the image and like download the image, you know?
Yeah, that's something that I was wondering about. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like how can you keep it?
Well, this happened before. Are the rare Pepes, are those NFTs?
There are Pepe NFTs, definitely.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
Because something like the Homer Simpson Pepe sold for like millions of dollars, but it's just a JPEG that you can search on like Google.
Right. But the, you know, it just circles back to you don't own technically the original, right? So think about physical art. You can buy a print of a Monet, but there will only ever be one original that somebody can own, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And why would you be a rube that buys a print of a Monet? You know, you want the OG.
Right.
But in this case, you're buying basically, so in order to have the original, you're buying basically a set of data that is stored away in a algorithm base or in a giant blockchain. Computer.
On a blockchain.
Okay, on the blockchain. So that's the other thing that makes these things unique, as opposed to say some other form of digital art that is that preceded it, like a rare Pepe that might sell for millions of dollars, but it's not blockchained.
Right. So yeah, the blockchain, you know, if I know you guys know a little bit, at least as much as I do about blockchain technology, it's
I'm not like, sure I do. I don't know.
Decentralized, right?
The blockchain technology.
the whole like point of this is like the underpinnings are just decentralization. Right.
Yeah.
And full transparency of this, a blockchain is like a very transparent ledger of every transaction, of everything that happens on that blockchain. So you can see, you can visit some of these online NFT marketplaces. And you, let's say you're interested in buying a CryptoPunk, you can see everywhere that every address, wallet address that CryptoPunk has interacted with. And for what cost? Like this person bought it for 0.3 ether, and then they sold it for like one ether or whatever. So you can see the whole transactional history of every NFT. And then since it's on a blockchain, that is sort of your certificate. Your NFT is like your certificate of authenticity.
Gotcha.
Right. You know, you think about, okay, like who's benefiting from this? Well, artists are benefiting from it because, you know, if you are like have some like niche art that like lends itself really well to a digital space, like just the internet, then holy shit, this is a gold mine. Like this is what I've been waiting for my whole life, you know?
Only if people are willing to buy it or pay for
absolutely.
It. So you have
community,
to be relatively known. Or
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Community has a lot to do with it for sure. And another cool thing about NFTs are on certain marketplaces, it's reserved right now only to, I think, like one or two different protocols online. You can program your NFT to give the original seller royalties on every transaction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're an artist and you make a, sorry to interrupt you, but if you're an artist and you make a piece of art, you can then say, okay, well, this is going to, I'm going to sell this to somebody else, but henceforth, every time this gets sold, I get a tiny amount of money off the top.
Right. Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, is the amount of money off the top, is it like predetermined, or is it like, can they write in whatever they want? Yeah. So if like the, what's that guy's name who's like art sold for like 69 million? Yeah. Beeple. So like if he sells his shit for 69 million and then it sells again for like 420 million or some bullshit. Like what is, it's like 1% is like 10%, like 50%.
I don't know. It's up to whoever's, what protocol you're interacting with. And like,
cause there's different blockchains, right?
Yes, there are different blockchains. However, the Ethereum blockchain is by far the most popular, and where a lot of this really all started. But you have like Binance Smart Chain, you have some other blockchains that are like dipping into this, but it all really came up on the Ethereum blockchain, and that's where it's going to stay for a while. I think it's just the most secure, the most widely used. Most NFT sales are denominated in Ether, the native token of the Ethereum blockchain. And so, yeah, you have cool things like that, like royalties. So buyers, you know, the other party involved in this, of course, is the buyers. Maybe you're somebody who like, or you're just into supporting this artistic community. Maybe you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I want to participate in this. And like, I want to buy this, whatever. Yeah,
this was one of my main questions, is who is buying these things for $69 million? Like, is it just like bizarre billionaires' sons? Like,
are that's a good question.
Pooling money? Like, is it art collectors? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. So obviously normal people can't afford those big ones, right?
Yeah.
So like a lot of people are sort of like tossing out the idea, you know, sort of the accusation that like, oh, this is just turning into a bubble. It's an unsustainable money bubble. And it's, for now, just a playground for the rich, which it kind of is. Like, if you're selling an NFT for $69.3 million, that's obviously reserved for a certain class of people. But I mean, not every NFT is $69 million. So, you know, some of them are far less than that. However, an artist, in order to create an NFT, you upload your content to some protocol that offers a NFT minting service, and you pay a fee. So that artist is definitely not going to sell their art for a loss. So it will be north of the fee that they paid. And you know, they want to also profit off of, you know, their art and their time and labor and whatever else.
So on the one hand, these things benefit artists who are able to put up some kind of work and turn a profit off of it. But is there like serious, like, is there some value in having a non-fungible, like, investment that makes it worth, like, I guess I'm asking, is there some reason that investors want to invest into non-fungible tokens? Is there a reason that they might have value, or it might be a good investment strategy?
Right. Yeah. With buyers, you either have people that are interested in supporting that artist, or they're just interested in collecting stuff. But you also have buyers that are treating them as speculative assets. Gotcha. So the intent to sell for a higher price than what you bought it for.
Yeah.
Just like people are buying Pokemon cards. Like Pokemon cards are huge again right now.
And
like, you know, packs and boxes are selling for millions of dollars.
That really disgusts me, that level of nerd shit coming into the mainstream like that, into the financial world.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, you have so there's, you know, the more hype that builds around a certain NFT, like CryptoPunks or Beeple, his NFT art, then the more hype that's built around it, right? There's more attention on it. People want it. They want to be able to say, oh yeah, I own that, right?
Gotcha.
And since there's a finite number of them, that's just, you know, supply and demand, pretty basic supply and demand.
Yeah.
Then there are some other NFTs where you can, you're essentially buying the NFT is like the right to redeem a physical object. For example, there is an internet or a decentralized finance or a DeFi, which is kind of a subset of the world of cryptocurrency for those who aren't quite familiar with it yet.
I love these terms.
There's a site called Uniswap, or sorry, a DApp, a decentralized application built on the Ethereum blockchain called Uniswap. It's a super popular, it's the most widely used token swapping mechanism where you can send certain tokens to your browser wallet, it's called, and then like you interact with Uniswap, you just pay what's called a gas fee to exchange your tokens for another token that is offered through Uniswap. So Uniswap made a some kind of like meme NFT called Unisocks, and they are literal tube socks with the Uniswap unicorn, a pink unicorn logo on it, and the word Uniswap printed on the like leg part. So those, I forgot exactly when they started. It was like a year or two ago. I think they first were like selling for, I don't know, $15 a pair or something. But there is a finite number of them. Maybe let's say 1,000 of them. They are now currently trading at like $130,000 for a pair of socks.
Damn. Yeah.
So the cool thing about that is that you initially are just buying the right to redeem that physical object.
Yes.
So let's say you bought the right to redeem it, at a Unisocks token for $15. And you never clicked redeem to get those socks mailed to your house.
I was going to ask, where do you go to get these socks? Like, where is, do they just have them behind the counter at Fred Meyer?
Right. No, they'll, they mail them to you. That'll be $135,000.
Yeah, it's the back room at fucking like Ross or something.
Right. And they, so yeah, let's say you bought that Sox token, didn't click redeem at $15, but now they're worth $130,000. You can sell that again
for $130,000 for a pair of socks.
Right.
That you
but, if you get those socks mailed to you, I don't think anybody's actually going to buy those physical
socks.
The token for the speculative purpose of just speculating on the price, hoping to turn a profit. So I actually did it.
So if you then, I mean, so if you say that you clicked redeem and bought the socks and then you decided, damn, these socks seem to be really valuable in this market. I think I'll just create a new token for this same pair of socks. That token wouldn't be worth nearly as much money.
Well, you've already worn them, so.
Well, yeah. Okay,
let me specify. You keep them in the package, and then you, and then so you buy the socks for $15. You redeem the thing, and then you get the socks delivered to you, and then the token to redeem them becomes worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you then said, I'm going to try to sell these socks on the same market, you would put up a token and it would be $15, and it would not, because it's not the socks, it's the value of the token.
Right. It's, well, I'm not exactly precisely sure on how Unisocks work, but if they're anything like some of the other similar like physical object NFTs, as soon as you click redeem, that token is burnt.
So you don't have the
destroyed
token
forever. So the actual purchasable number of socks left is reduced by one.
Ah, thereby driving the price up of the other tokens higher? Okay.
The supply is decreased, and if the demand is still is still high, then your price is going to keep going up.
So would the real money move would be to buy like five of them and redeem like three of them to make the price go up and then sell the other two?
Well, you definitely have to crunch some numbers. Or you could just go in blind and just, YOLO in and just cross your fingers, hope for the best.
Or say you had enough money, like say you bought like all of them and then, redeemed half of them and then sold the other half. All of a sudden there's...
Right. Well,
twice,
yeah.
Supposedly twice.
So this is kind of like taking like cryptocurrency back to like a gold standard in a way, because now you're making tokens that have real world exchange. You can take your token in and exchange it for something. The same way that you used to be able to exchange dollars for actual bits of gold, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like retying cryptocurrency to actual real world shit. So you've basically come all around from cryptocurrency to like 1920s like crony capitalism. So that's interesting. I think that what interests me about it is that it's like you're now like cryptocurrency was a way of like investing or transacting money that was totally digital and was even less real than like actual banking was, and now like you're taking physical objects and reintroducing them into, as in keeping with the theme of the podcast, the digital world is now leaking out into the physical world.
Absolutely.
Actual physical objects can become bitcoins.
Right. They can become, digital assets and live on a blockchain.
Yeah.
So I participated in one of those physical object NFTs. There's a protocol called Bancor, Bancor, and they have a token, a native token to their protocol called BNT, and it's tradable on like a Coinbase, which is the most widely used in the United States crypto app. And so on their site, they have a link to what's called the BNT shop, and they have three t-shirts different supplies of each. Like one has a supply of 100, the second t-shirt has a supply of 200, and then 300 for the third t-shirt. And they're placed on a price on a what's called a bonding curve. So every time one t-shirt is bought, the next one, no matter if there's like demand and people bidding on them, there's nobody, there's no bids on these, but every time one t-shirt is bought, the next one is guaranteed to be this much higher. It's like on a bonding curve. So as soon as, if you get down to like five t-shirts left, which is, I got in on one of these t-shirts when there was like 17 of them left.
The t-shirt? Real quick, what's on the t-shirt?
It says Bancor.
Nice.
And it's a very vaporwave t-shirt, actually. Very vaporwave design.
Yeah, I imagine.
Has like the kind of laser grid, neon laser grid background that the logo is sitting on. So I bought the BNVT token, which is the right to redeem this t-shirt, this physical t-shirt, for $2,700. For a t-shirt. And then luckily I like went back and checked like 3 hours later and there were like three more tokens bought. So I immediately sold my token for $5,500.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
So I, you know, made a cool, like, you know, 80% profit in the course of an hour or so. A couple hours.
How does that rank in investments that you've made thus far in your total like Bitcoin cryptocurrency career thus far?
That was a pretty big gain for like the amount of effort I put into it, like and the amount of time it took. I made, you know, had quite a lot of losses, but I've had, you know, a couple of big wins too that I'm still currently sitting on. So like right now that would amount to like that gain would be like 5% of like my portfolio.
Gotcha.
I'm not like a huge player, but by no means no slouch for the beginner that I am. For the beginner that I am.
I'm still learning.
But of course, as you're seeing too, it like takes some money to get your foot in the door, right?
Yeah.
So that $2,700 or so dollars that I bought it with was not in US dollars. That was in Ethereum that I bought.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm trading cryptocurrency that happens to be worth this
value to that much US, money.
Yeah.
Could be time. Worth much less later. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So this, the guy, the Beeple guy, that his piece sold for like $69 million or whatever. Mm-hmm. Can he just go to a bank and draw out $69 million right now?
So the thing about that particular sale is that it went through Christie's Auction House, which is like the foremost, like, I think, art, like, auction house, I think. That is not necessarily like, it's kind of like in a different, it's not necessarily decentralized at that point, right? It's like not decentralized on the internet thing. I think I don't know if it's true. I really want to look it up. But somebody said they think the purchase price, the bid, was actually $69,420,000. But then like the clearing costs like bumped it down to $69.3 million. So like, ah, oh, rats. Like,
okay, so for the listeners out there and me who doesn't know, what's Beeple?
Beeple, he is an artist. He's an NFT artist. So he creates visual art. He is probably the most popular easily right now, the most popular NFT artist.
But before he was an NFT artist, he was a mildly popular internet artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
his art is kind of like, it's like 3D rendering of like, I don't know, sort of, in my opinion, sort of like dumb nerd shit. Like, yeah. It's like there's one of them where it's like it's like right after Daft, his thing is he does a thing every day, he produces a piece every day, and so like the day that Daft Punk broke up, it's like the Daft Punk dudes shaking hands, but one of them's like getting Thanos snapped, like, you know, all via particles. I think one of his most famous ones was like, it was like a naked Trump with like big titties or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
some of them when you look at them are like a little
But I mean, if it's a piece every single day, you know, I guess, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's not my personal.
So when you redeem an NFT from Beeple, you can see on YouTube people like unboxing Beeple NFTs that they buy. He sends along
wait a minute, what's the unboxing entail?
So you can actually get like
the original piece,
a package mailed to you. So like there's this one really popular one called, I think like the Golden Bowl or like Bowl Run or something like that. It's like this big, like mecha bowl, like in this like desert landscape, and it's got like a giant Bitcoin on its back.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of like future punky kind of like vibe. But he, I watched this YouTube video. This guy, bought one out of the set, of like 200. So like there will only be 200 ever minted of this NFT. So when he bought that, he got a package mailed to his house, and it's like this dope ass box. You open it, and it has like some printing on the box from Beeple, and it says like, "This is the real motherfucking deal" or something like that. It, he includes a vial with a sample of his own hair in this box.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I would, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Got to admit, I love how quickly you guys co-sign that. You're like, oh yeah, okay, now we're done.
Hair, human hair,
and real unwashed human hair. Yeah, I'd buy that.
He's got this sort of like tablet-ish kind of thing. Like it's a digital screen encased in protective plexiglass. You have to plug in a charger in the back of it, and then it displays your NFT that you bought.
That's so vaporwave, bro.
And it's
that's cool.
And it's got a QR code on it that you can scan and like check out just like blockchain details about it, like the
So what you're saying is that somebody bought this piece of art. Somebody bought a piece of art, and then they were delivered the piece of art and a thing where you can display as a separate art piece the NFT data that you purchased the original piece of art with.
Right, right.
And you can hang that up in your house.
Wait, no, because the original piece of art is that. Like, it's not like a print, right? It's
No. He bought a...
Right, it's like it's a digital image.
Yeah.
And on that digital image is included a little QR code.
So if you reprinted it, that would be the same thing. You'd just be one of those rubes buying a print of Monet,
the Mona Lisa, yeah,
right.
From Urban Outfitters or whatever,
right? Yeah. So,
here, go ahead.
And just real quick, Beeple's real name is Mike Winkleman, by the way. Just thought everybody should know that.
Docs this motherfucker,
right? but yeah, you have tons of people and celebrities, especially. Jumping on this because it's a cash grab, like for a lot of celebrities. And what's great for the crypto community, which I am a part of, is that normies love celebrities and they're watching what celebrities do. And celebrities are now bringing all this attention to the blockchain space and the cryptocurrency space. Even though people might not know that right away when they're thinking NFTs, well, if they ever want to make one or buy one, they're going to have to interact with the cryptocurrency space. So that's huge. That's huge for crypto people.
And an example of the celebrities getting into it is Azealia Banks and her now ex-fiance. She broke up with her fiance today, I believe. recorded an audio file of themselves having sex. She sold it as an NFT for $17,000, and it has been resold for $260 million.
Hell yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that is, I feel like that's where the real potential lies in this as an artistic movement, you know, because like it's going to be, it's the new like digital Dadaism, right? It's absolutely. Like, what can you possibly turn into an NFT?
Right.
Like, can I just take this glue stick and be like, okay, this is an NFT. I'm going to sell this. And can I sell this for $160 million now? So it's the same exact thing that people were doing in like the 1920s, where they put like a toilet into an art house. And we're like, this is a piece of art now.
Right.
You remember you remember that bullshit where the lady had like a red fucking like paperclip, and she like traded it to somebody for like a pen, and it,
yeah,
shit just kept getting retraded until she bought a house with all the different trades. Like, it's that bullshit. It's the internet age. Well,
I think it's not that, but you know,
I'm trying hard to comprehend. Sorry.
No, I mean, I think Evan, you're right on the money. Like, with that, like, it's got people questioning what is art at this point. And whenever that happens, like, you might be on the cusp of like some cool kind art. Of like big change, like that only comes around once in a while.
It's very vaporwave for sure.
No, it's incredibly vaporwave.
Another part of the narrative, since this is happening in the crypto space, it's on blockchains, is decentralization. That's part of the narrative too. For artists to now not have to deal with studios or galleries or any kind of middle man or middle person that's going to like, you know, that you need in order to distribute your art. Now you can do it from the comfort of your own home. All you need is an internet connection, some money to mint the NFT and like, you know, get it in an, just a computer. Like, you just upload your content, whatever it is. It can be music, visual art,
a podcast.
Yeah.
A podcast. We should totally NFT the shit out of this podcast, Morgan. Let's do it. Let's
tweets.
That's amazing.
So Jack Dorsey of Twitter, I think one of his tweets, it might have been like his first tweet or something, just sold for $2.5 million. So even
tweets. Oh, shit.
No.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like Grimes, of course, Elon's significant other, had an NFT auction. It sold out in 20 minutes for nearly $6 million total, for all of the items. Sold out in 20 minutes. Pretty crazy. The CryptoPunks that I was telling you guys about, that like is the whole pool, I think, is valued over $100 million right now. There are NBA Top Shots.
I've heard about this. Yeah.
These are not on the Ethereum blockchain. They're on like some other weird kind of like external ecosystem that I don't even know anything about. But they're valued totally at $300 million now. I think you can pay and settle any deals in just U.S. dollars. So it's not really a crypto thing.
I
don't fuck with it. And then there's William Shatner.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's still alive?
Oh, yeah. He's
kicking. Alive and kicking, baby.
He made a batch of NFT, William Shatner-themed trading card NFTs that, like, sold out super quickly. And so they were, like...
Who's buying NFT. This shit?
Well, like, boomers, that's a great way for boomers to get into the crypto space, right? If they're like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, like, I want some...
Oh, William Shatner.
Memorabilia? So like one of their I think images just like from his career and like over the whole past of his career, and one image includes an x-ray of his teeth, like a dental x-ray. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, pretty interesting.
That's wild.
So the ultimate like unimaginable endpoint of what this can lead to is that you can just make anything, any goddamn thing in the world, into an NFT. And if it explodes 100 years in the future, every physical object, every digital object, anything in the world, a concept in your head, you can trade it on the internet and you'll be able to sell things for, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's crazy. Yeah. If you just like kind of have a little runaway thought experiment, like, you know, like fucking Christmas trees. Like, what if you buy like, like a batch of Christmas trees? You don't want to go buy a Christmas tree in the future. You're like, oh, we're just going to go shopping on the Christmas tree NFT mart and hang that up. And that's our Christmas tree. or yeah, look around at anything in your house and you can take a picture of it, mint it as an NFT, and then say, yeah, if you buy this, I'll mail it to you.
That's awesome. Yeah. But so, then the other thing is that most of the things, at least physical stuff that you label as an NFT, it never gets sold or never gets redeemed. Yeah, the point is to trade.
Not yet.
And like, you know, of course, like a lot of this, you know, it's kind of like supposed to be artistic, right? In theory.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, I kind of love the stupid memery that happens with it, like with Unisoft, you know, like how fucking ridiculous is that? But you know, of course that's going to happen, and it should, to be, you know, to point out kind of the ridiculousness of the whole thing.
Is Soulja Boy in the game yet?
I think he's trying to scratch his way in. He's trying to scramble his way in. It's so funny. Soulja Boy just
started a TikTok. Like, he just got on the TikTok
thing. He's always so late.
Well, he was so early in his career. You know, he was on top of the trends. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Give the man credit.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at his Twitter right now and seeing the cringe TikTok videos. he is very interested in the crypto space, and he always just like tweets whatever he's curious about. He'll be like, hey, how do I do this? How do I make a Soulja token? And people just fuck with him so much.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, last time we heard from Soulja Boy in his like crypto adventures, he was getting laughed out of town and he was getting like bullied and harassed by people. So yeah, I feel like this
by
is
like 15 year olds mostly.
Yeah. but this is Soulja Boy's big chance to have his revenge, because Soulja Boy's he's an artist. I mean,
right. He should absolutely jump on this.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody can just get it into this man's head that, like, yeah, just put out a song and put it out as an NFT.
Right.
And I bet that people will meme by it and it'll be worth millions of dollars.
Well, right. You know, the first band that's doing that is fucking Kings of Leon.
Right.
Putting out an album as NFT.
Right.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, it made me think of you know, the elusive Wu-Tang album
Martin Shkreli got. Yeah. Right. Which Martin Shkreli doesn't have it anymore. The cops seized it. It is now in ownership of the NYPD. So
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Sad news.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like the same concept, right? You create one CD, and it's incredibly scarce.
But the difference is that Martin Shkreli was supposed to be the only person that could hear that, whereas everybody's going to be able to hear that Kings of Leon album, but only one guy will have the minted copy. Right.
Well, in that way, it's abssolutely similar, though. Like, didn't Shkreli like? Did he post those tracks or something? Did he like upload the Wu-Tang tracks or something?
He did like live streams of himself listening.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Like just snippets though.
Okay.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a song with Cher on there. Wu-Tang featuring Cher. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fire. Yeah,
pretty lit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the idea you create a scarce product is built around a huge community following like Wu-Tang has, right? Mm-hmm. Soulja Boy, he should absolutely get on it.
Get on that game. So could you create an NFT out of just, could you say that I'm doing conceptual art and here's my art concept. I'm going to create an NFT that is just the token, right? Like that's my
I don't see what's like, stopping you, EK man.
You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like I'm creating
like a physical token or like a picture of a token?
No, it would just be like the token to buy it, and there's nothing other than that, and that's just what you're buying.
I think you might be onto something there. But then I guess you just have what would be a cryptocurrency, which there already are plenty. Nobody is looking at them in that way, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
it still be non-fungible though? You wouldn't be able to trade it. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you mint it in a way to where it's non-fungible, then yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
All right. So I feel like basically what I'm getting from this is that somehow by combining like modernist conceptual art with cryptocurrency, somebody's going to become like a billionaire overnight. So there's got to be a loophole around this to make millions and millions of dollars.
Well, people are already making millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, but they're producing something with that. And I want to figure out how I can just not produce anything.
Right, that would be really artistic too if you could pull it off.
Exactly,
the highest of artistic merits, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's I'm getting to work on that, and you can look forward to.
So yeah, for all the listeners out there, where you can check these things out, or where you create them, there's a few different ones. OpenSea, as in like the water, SEA, OpenSea. Another site called Rarible, and one called Mintable, one called Nifty Gateway. That's where I think Grimes sold hers. So yeah, artists can, you go to somewhere like Mintable to where you actually upload your content and mint NFTs. I think you could sell them from there too. And then I think places like OpenSea are more of the secondary marketplace where people will, trade their NFTs with other collectors or buyers.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing we haven't talked about, which I think may be the most vaporwave aspect of this whole thing, is that these blockchains and these like Bitcoin mines do exist in the physical world, correct? And there are like these warehouses full of giant machines and wires, and they look like insane, and like even they look imposing. Dystopian as hell. They look like the Matrix. Yeah. So what is that? What's going on there?
That's actually what I don't understand. But I feel like that doesn't have to do with NFTs at all. But
no,
it has
I'm
to do
pretty
with...
sure it does.
It does a little bit, actually. Yeah. So you do bring up a good point.
I've also heard it's very bad for the environment. Exactly. I'd like to hear what Dr. Schill has to say about that. Does he care about the fish? Does he care about the trees?
Absolutely not.
yeah, fuck that.
Well, so there's a huge... sect of artists, and I would say like the whole artist community criticizing. I feel like artists are kind of split. Half that are like, fuck yeah, there's a great marketplace, decentralized marketplace for me to like sell my art to absolutely anyone in the world very easily, and transact with them very easily. And anonymously too, you could do it completely anonymously. There's a huge amount of artists online everywhere that are like, no, I'm completely morally against this because of the environmental impact. I tried to research some of that before we hopped on the podcast today. I couldn't find enough of both sides of the argument to come up with any real conclusion of my own. But, a lot of people are saying, yes, it does require an unreasonable amount power, like electricity and computing power. So much so that the carbon footprint is totally unsustainable and actually harmful and detrimental to the environment. And while okay, like I get that, and I do understand that the computing power that happens to confirm blocks on a blockchain in order to confirm these transactions or execute these transactions, those are going to be happening regardless if NFTs exist or not, because the cryptocurrency space is so huge and there's so many other things happening on these blockchains that that's just going to happen. Regardless if people are buying your art or not. So if you don't want to participate, then just have fun staying poor. one of the most, I just say that, if you spend any time on crypto Twitter, that's a very popular hashtag. Have fun staying poor.
Well, Ikemen Sensei knows my like opinion about this. Like, I've seen the infographs that are like, this is what the world will look like after global warming, you know? And I don't know, to me, it looks lit as hell. Like, I'm down to live in a giant high rise in Antarctica. Like, that sounds vaporwave as shit.
Right.
Like, yeah. I'm down.
And, you know,
if I don't die.
Morgan, I mean, like, you know, are you going to be able to afford living in the high rise in Antarctica?
Well, once I sell the SlimeWire podcast NFT for $500 million.
There you go. There you go.
True, right.
And you know, anytime, honestly, like anytime people, you know, sort of complain about the carbon footprint that individuals create, I have a hard time accepting that, just because you're like, oh yeah, NFTs are going to be our demise, not the global military industrial complex.
There's nobody gonna be like standing around in the tattered like ruins of New York being like, damn, if only I hadn't like put my fucking
only I hadn't sold my toenails as NFT.
God, if only I hadn't put my designer like Pokemon stickers onto NFTs. God,
all I have is this shitty Beeple drawing to look at.
You know? My children are carted off to the slavers. And, I mean, I get what you're saying there, but I also, there's like that's the same. I don't know. This is a little off topic, but like when people talk about like the only, you know, 70 corporations in the world make like 90% of all the carbon pollution in the world, like 50 of those companies are just gas companies, right? Sure. So like it's not like they're like just pumping pure methane into the air. No, they're selling you gas that that you then use to drive your car around.
Right.
But no, yeah, I mean, like,
but I personally reliant on that, right?
I don't kind of been conditioned. I understand the and generally agree with the idea that you shouldn't, the burden of the task of solving climate change should not fall to the individual, much less a struggling internet-based artist who wants to sell, you know, some scumbag who got screwed into getting like a liberal arts degree in like performative, you know, art, and now needs to make money selling his wares, like, you know.
Yeah, but once you sell for
everybody should be,
once you're a multi-millionaire off of NFTs, you've hopped up a couple classes, and you know.
Right. Yeah, but that's only a select few of
There's been like three of those people so far, and one of them is Grimes. So
I think there's some statistic like four or five artists who have now profited over 10 million in NFT sales, which is crazy. Of 10 million. That's not counting secondary market sales. Those are just artists like initial sales.
So I would say that like that ties into the idea of like democratizing an artistic space and saying that like, okay, now you don't have to go through galleries and stuff to get your art popular. It just occurred to me that it sounds like it has a horrible dark underbelly, because the people that are getting rich off of these NFTs, it's like a hyper elite art space where only people that are super in the know are like understand enough about the scene to buy the art, and then only a very select few amount of people are going to be able to capitalize off that. And also, speculation about the value of an art piece is going to just hyper, like, it's just going to get to a point where, like, it's not even about, like, you know, art critics trying to predict what trends in a given art form are popular. It's not going to be about, like, what people, what normal people are going to find aesthetically pleasing. It's going to be about, like, what is the next random piece of digital art that'll be hyperinflated to millions and millions of dollars that I can then buy, irregardless of the aesthetic value of the art at all, right. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, it sounds like very democratizing, but from what we've seen so far, it's actually hype, like, totally. Like, these guys, Beeple has made $69 million.
Right.
I never heard of him.
That was just one sale, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of him. The community at large, the non-art appreciating public hasn't heard of him. And even people that like art probably haven't. A bunch of them haven't heard of him, you know?
Right.
So it's like there's a horrible dark underbelly to all this. But,
well, it's the same underbelly as the regular fine art world. Like,
I would say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, just to an extent that's like, much more obscene.
Well, the only thing, it has the potential to be I think the whole, like, blockchain, you know, sort of like philosophy, like, behind it, why so many people subscribe to it, of, like, believing in the decentralized narrative of it, right?
Yeah.
Is that maybe one contrasting quality of, like, NFT marketplaces versus, you know, the physical art world, where things can be sold or traded or whatever unknowingly, and deals are made in back rooms or whatever, and, like, people in certain classes and groups and cliques, whereas, you know, you're right. Like, I agree with what you're saying. But on a blockchain, you see there's no falsifying anything. Like, it's all completely transparent. So, like, you always know exactly the transactional history of it, right? There's no trust issues, counterparty trust issues, right?
Yeah. There's nobody running the machinery that decides to tell you, or that can manipulate
exactly
the price of any of these things. So I think
or sell a fake or anything like that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds to me like there's, like, probably a problem with blockchain is that it has the, like, blockchain as a movement of people, is that it has the potential, if everybody used it, it would be this revolutionary thing, totally democratizing thing. But because only a few strange internet nerds and savvy music teachers can't, like, understand and know how to use it and are all in on using it, as of now, it's still kind of this technocratic niche thing that only weirdos, freaks so it makes sense that, like, if I can imagine that, I would imagine that people that are in the crypto world, it sounds like you have a lot of concern about, like, bringing other people into the fold, because the more people that are in there, the more just it becomes, the better of an idea it becomes.
Definitely. And these things, like, the, like, decentralized nature, it benefits from kind of like the whole, like, GameStop thing and the Wall Street Bets thing. Like, in order to beat the man, like, there's power in numbers. Like, you benefit from more people sharing the same strategy rather than you like withholding your game plan only to yourself. That's not going to win you any battles in any financial market. There is absolute power in numbers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole decentralized narrative is, you know, saying like traditional banking is a scam and has been fucking us all over for quite a while. And now it doesn't have to. And yeah, so it's interesting that now it's being applied to like the world of art. It's crazy.
Hell yeah, man. It's wild. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. So could you, what if you, okay, here's my last speculation about what you could possibly do with an NFT. What if I said, like what if I took $100, like a wad of $1 bills and created like an NFT for that, right? And then what if like everybody did that? You could just transfer all of your money instantly into NFTs. You wouldn't have to like connect your money to a bank account whatsoever. You could withdraw your physical currency and say, make an NFT that would be redeemable for your money.
Nobody likes a smart ass.
No, yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
I'm not trying to be a smart ass. I'm just trying to figure out how I can scam people and get millions of dollars.
Yeah, like that reminds me of one thing I kind of wanted to mention too, like about cryptocurrency to you guys is like, there is the whole narrative of like, fuck the US dollar, it being shitty because of inflation, and savings accounts are a scam because they were marketed to give you interest, but that interest is bullshit and it's like outpaced by inflation sometimes. So you're just like, oh, okay. So no, everything I'm doing in cryptocurrency is to generate more like wealth, right? Which is denominated in US dollars. So like my end game is still to end up with US dollars because not for a long time. I don't know if we'll ever see cryptocurrencies actually being used as currencies. Right. But they are speculative assets that can, just like stocks or whatever, can grow your holdings into a larger denomination of US dollars. We all still have to pay our bills in US dollars. So that's still kind of the end game.
That's not going away anytime soon.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's some food for thought as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Of like, yeah, you know, you can follow your narrative so far, but like in the end, I mean,
you're still cashing out at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're still returning to being a normie at the end of the day.
Right. Or you can, you know, hang on to your magic internet beans and like forever, you know, and just flex on Twitter and call it a day.
Hell yeah, man.
Swag.
All right.
Yeah. That was a fruitful conversation. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've given me a lot of ideas.
Right. I like where your head's at. Minister of Loneliness.
Minister of Loneliness, yes. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that about does it for this discussion about NFTs. Thank you so much, Dr. Shill Clinton.
Yeah, thanks
for joining us again. And anytime there's any sort of financial news, we need you in the park.
The world needs you. The vaporwave needs you. we got him. Yeah.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure, boys.
Yeah. Next week, EKMN, you want to talk? Next week, I will have finished the Adam Curtis documentary series. Dr. Shill Clinton, you should watch it too. It's very good.
I'm down.
Oh, it's really good. It's great. It's riveting.
Six parts, so it's pretty fucking long.
It's about 8 hours long.
Holy shit.
But, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but how long did it take you to watch it?
About 3 days, but we're on lockdown in Japan, so, you know.
You're a psycho.
Lockdown again, huh?
Well, as Japan is usual, as is usual with Japan, we're under a strong suggestion to politely remain indoors.
Right.
So, it's not like a real lockdown, but you know, I can't go like every, you know, where I live is so rural that like the, everybody's staying inside and there's not that many people to begin with, you know, and all of the events that would usually be happening right now have been canceled. So like, Yeah, and a lot of, like, you know, it's a small community, so it's a lot of, like, little parades and, like, events that get people out.
Like, seasonal things.
Yes, yes. So, like, right now there would have been a small sake festival in my town. A couple months ago there would have been, like, a little thing. So, yeah, so all that stuff got canceled. So I just got nothing but time on my hands.
So you watched an eight-hour documentary over the course of 3 days. And and two other documentaries, right?
Yes, I did. an eight-hour documentary and a five-hour documentary and a two-and-a-half-hour-long movie.
So you watched Hypernormalization, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How much, like, gore is in that? Because I watched, like, I watched, like, the first, like, 10 minutes, and I was, like, disgusted. And I was like, I don't think I can fucking watch it.
No, that's just the first image. There's not that much in there.
Right, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. You know,
how'd you find it? Where'd you find it?
It's on YouTube.
Hell yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, boys.
All right, fellas.
Does anybody have anything else?
I'm good.
Subscribe to the Patreon, please, for the low price of $5 a month. You can get two bonus episodes every month of the SlimeWire podcast. I just need five people to do it so I can make back the amount of money that I spend distributing it. And that's all I want. And, like, just to break even for 1 month, because we've been doing this for so long that it'll be, like, I'll need, like, 100 people to break even in general. So, but, yeah, whatever. Well,
yeah, I'll tell my students about it and
All right.
I'll be like, practice your English listening skills with our NC-17 rated podcast.
Well, you're on it, so, you know, they'll get to hear you.
Yeah, they'll get to hear my outlandish opinions.
All right, if there's nothing else, I'm going to say sayonara.
Sayonara.
Sayonara, boys.